This podcast contains content that may be disturbing to some listeners. Check the episode description for more details and resources. And as always, take care of yourself. The day I finally let Kate see Marina, Zora took work off.
You need me. And Marina might need us both.
We told Marina that her other grandmother was coming, but she was so confused. When we told her she'd met Kate once before, just after she was adopted, Marina said,
"Oh, that lady."
Kate made a beeline for Marina when she came, stopping only short of touching her. Zora had Marina on her lap.
"Hi, Marina. I'm your grandma."
"I already have a grandma."
"Your other grandma."
"Okay."
She looked up at Zora.
"Can I go now?"
Zora looked over at me, and so did Marina.
"You can go."
Marina took off running, ignoring Kate's frown.
"She's adorable."
She sat next to Zora on the couch, quickly replacing her frown with a stilted smile. I sat in the chair.
"We think so."
"How are you, Zora?" "How are things?"
"Things are good, I guess."
"Sadie, have you seen Talia Ross recently?"
"That's random."
"I just saw her mom recently. It turns out she's living in the same apartment complex as my friend Julie from work."
"We aren't really speaking anymore."
"Oh."
"Yeah, it's not a big deal."
"That's sad. I always liked her."
"I know you did."
"Maybe you can make up."
"We went to Erin's last show. Everyone loved it."
The only way to get Kate to let it go was to never speak about it again.
"Oh."
"What now?"
"Nothing."
"It's clearly not nothing."
"She just,
"He?"
"He just refuses to get a full-time job. He's very talented. I just don't know how sustainable this whole music thing is. Both of you are so creative, but that's not really realistic, you know?"
"Well, you're a teacher. That's not like being on Wall Street or anything."
"But your father is a lawyer."
Zora's eyes got wide and she pressed her mouth into a thin line. I rolled my eyes and began.
"Kate?"
"She could call me Mom, you know."
"Oh."
"Don't do that."
"Do what?"
In that moment, I was thrown back to Talia's with her asking me if all our problems were in the past. She really didn't know. Neither did Kate.
"Nothing." When you first meet David, you're 8. You spend the summer getting to know him, the father of one of Erin's friends from first grade. He is in his 40s and already balding. Ghostly pale, and he often wears sunglasses and a hat. One of the floppy ones with a wide brims meant to protect people not otherwise protected by melanin. He wears t-shirts in the pool to protect his shoulders and back, even though they usually wind up red anyway. Kate befriends his wife, and the two of you grow close from the proximity. You are a quiet kid, and he lets you be that. No expectations. You two talk about books and the beach and his adult daughter, whom you will never meet. She is out of the picture at this point. You laugh at his obvious crush on Kate when he isn't around. Kate thinks it's harmless. Later, your family spends holidays at Dave's place, listening to the caroling neighbors and eating latkes by the fire. He never stops flirting with Kate, which she brushes aside like a piece of dust. When you ask her why she doesn't say anything, she shrugs and says,
"He doesn't even have sex with his wife."
You suppose she pities him. Dave starts making suggestive comments to you when you are in your late teens. Mostly, you ignore them the way your mother did and hope he will stop so you can talk about books again instead of your sex life. You leave his house one Christmas Eve with a hug, and feel his hands move down your back, groping when they get low enough. When you tell Kate, she says maybe his hand slipped. That summer, your family and theirs drive out to Jones Beach for the day. You debate wearing a bikini that trip, wanting to do so without Dave's attention, even though you had only recently started wearing them again after years of covering your body. Aaron convinces you to ignore what Dave might say. His daughter is back in the picture then, supposedly having moved closer for the school district. Dave says she moved to be close to him. Days later, you and him went into the ocean together. Just the two of you, like before. You ride the waves and talk about Dave's glory days, when he had long hair and rode a motorcycle. He laments that you didn't know him then, and he looks over at you and says, "If only I were a few years younger." When you tell Kate this, she asks you to cut him a break. She says he's lonely. You refuse to go back to Dave's house after that. Aaron is no longer close with his son anyway. You let the drift feel natural to everyone else. You don't want resistance for trying to pull away. Of course Marina wanted to go to the beach. I shouldn't have expected anything less of my own daughter. Still, it took me by surprise.
Are you sure you want to go?
I'm sure.
I did want to go, really. I was also nervous. Would revisiting the ocean make the feelings flood back? Could that even happen? Marina ran into the room.
Do you like it?
She spun for us and modeled the bathing suit she'd bought on a trip to the mall with Shauna the previous weekend. It had a strawberry ice cream cone on the top.
Super cute.
Yeah.
Zora zipped her bag and looked back at me, her hand out. I took it. Zora told me once that she hadn't loved the beach until she saw it through my eyes. The endless ocean and the sun's caresses. We walked Marina down to the shallows. A wave rolled over her feet and she jumped back.
Cold.
Yeah, doesn't really warm up until later in the summer.
Why?
That's the way it is.
Another wave rolled out onto the sand, and Marina stuck her hand out to greet it. Zora looked back at me and smiled. I turned out toward the ocean, so unthreatening in the daytime. It played with my daughter, chasing her in, then running away in some strange game of tag.
I'm going to sit up on the beach.
Okay.
From further up the shore, I watched Marina play with the water the same way I used to at her age. Would she grow up scared of the water once she realized what I'd done? I lay back on the towel we'd brought and closed my eyes. What about me? Would I be able to handle it if she wasn't afraid? If she swam out into the sea on warm summer days without thinking about what it could mean to drown?
Mama!
Marina stood over me now, dripping wet.
I went all the way in.
I shielded my eyes from the sun and looked up at her.
That's great.
Will you come in with me? It's not that cold now.
He just got used to it.
Will you come?
Zora stood at the edge of the water, her skin glowing in the sun. Marina held out her hand for me to take.
Yeah, I'll come.
I followed Marina to the edge of the water. She ran in, shrieked, and then ran back out.
It's cold again.
You got out. You have to get used to it again.
Marina pouted, but did take another step toward the water. Then another. Soon she was swimming again and laughing. Zora was waist deep, holding her up when she stopped kicking.
Come on, Mommy.
I followed Marina's faded footsteps and shuddered at the water's touch. She was right. It was cold.
You're so slow.
Marina rolled her eyes and started paddling again, ducking under a small wave. I reached them and grabbed onto Zora's shoulder.
Everything good?
Yeah. It really is.
Instead of the standard drinks, Marina and I had made cookies to bring to Kim and Terry's, even though we knew she probably wouldn't eat them. When we got there, Terry took them from Marina and gave her a high five.
Thanks, Bunny.
I mix the chocolate chips in them and everything.
Oh, top chef in the house.
Top chef over here is going to have to learn how to clean up after herself in the kitchen before she wins any awards.
Or I could hire Mae to do that.
You're going to have maids?
And maybe a butler.
Come on, top chef. You can help Terry finish the salad.
Marina took Terry's hand and headed into the kitchen. Kim sat on the couch and closed her eyes, pressing a hand to her forehead.
How are you feeling?
Waiting for the aspirin to kick in, and then I'll be great.
She lowered her hand and opened her eyes.
You want to help us settle an argument?
Always.
Terry thinks being a vegetable sounds like a great time. I say not so much.
Must we?
You started it.
You're completely misrepresenting my words.
Whatever. I just said I wouldn't want to be in limbo forever, and he flipped his...
She glanced at Marina, who was tossing salad all over the counter.
You know, given the circumstances, I think he's allowed.
Thank you, Zora. All I said was you never know if that person is going to make a miraculous recovery or something.
But if it were you, what would you want?
Am I in pain?
Don't encourage her.
Terry, if I'm in pain and you're not pulling the plug, I swear, when I finally do die, I'm coming back to haunt you.
Terry sat on the arm of the couch next to Kim and kissed her.
You can haunt me. I wouldn't mind.
Ew, Mommy, they're kissing.
Sorry, Marina. Dinner's ready anyway.
Auntie Kim, don't you want to live forever?
Hun, at this point I'd like to reach 39.
I'd like to live forever.
Researcher Uncle Terry will get right on figuring that out.
Do you think you could be on the other side, though? Do you think you could pull the plug if someone you loved was in pain?
You people are morbid.
Kim looked over at him, then at the table. Her mouth was pressed into a thin line, her eyebrows drawn together in thought. Terry and Zora didn't get the appeal of thunderstorms, so they stayed inside with Marina while Kim and I watched lightning cut through the sky. Terry told us we were crazy, but Kim reminded him that I'm already crazy, so who cares?
Kim.
Terry, I'm dying. What's the harm?
You can't use that to win every argument.
I don't see why not.
Later, sitting shielded from the rain by Kim and Terry's front porch in two kitchen chairs Zora and I had dragged outside, Kim said,
I think he's a little afraid of them, honestly. He read a book as a kid where some guy got struck by lightning and now he hates storms.
I mean, Zora won't watch Beetlejuice because some friends tried to summon him at a sleepover a million years ago.
Kim laughed along with the thunder. It was a warm night, and although the rain cooled us down a bit, it certainly wasn't cool enough to wear the sweatshirt Kim had on. It was Terry's from Charleston, and it made her look tiny.
Uncle Terry says that if you want cookies, you have to come inside. So I snuck these.
I adore you.
I laughed and took the plate with the other cookie still on it. Marina ran inside and Kim put her cookie back on the plate. After a pause, she said,
I'm going to die.
Not right now, I hope.
No, not right now. But soon.
You don't know.
I do.
Tears threatened to spill from my eyes. I held them shut for a minute to stem the flow. When I opened them again, Kim was looking up at the sky.
It took me a while, but I'm coming to terms with it. I'm so tired, Sade.
You don't know that the chemo won't work.
Terry doesn't know this yet, so please don't tell. The cancer, it's metastasized. It's It's in my brain. I'm getting these crazy headaches. The odds are almost zero. It's over.
Brain cancer. She was talking about brain cancer.
Well, almost zero still isn't zero.
I've been fighting my whole life. I'm just done with the chemo and whatever treatments. I know when I've lost.
We sat in silence for a moment before she said,
"You can tell Zora if you want, but just let me tell Terry, okay?"
"Of course."
"I don't know what happens after, you know, life. But if I can miss you, I know I will."
I took her hand, and she rested her head on my shoulder.
"I'll miss you too."
We sat there for half an hour at least. Lightning flashed through the sky, illuminating the clouds.